Welcome to Worship in the Word with Pastor Robert Morris. We are so glad you're joining us. Today, Pastor Robert is continuing a series titled Relationship, where he shares how each of the Ten Commandments has a principle behind it, and it leads us into a deeper relationship with God. Well, I can't wait for you all to hear this message, so let's get started.
Just to remind you, we're looking for the principle of relationship behind each commandment. And we're on now the eighth commandment. So next week, the ninth, the next week, the tenth. But the eighth commandment is Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. Four words. There's only one other four-word commandment, but it is, you shall not steal. You shall not steal. Now, I've had a lot of great comments from people saying, you know, we've been kind of wondering where you're going to go on these messages, you know. How are you going to preach on murder to a bunch of church-going folks, you know? And it's been wonderful to me to watch as the Lord has unfolded these principles before us. So let me just let you know, here's the principle I believe that God is trying to instill in us through the eighth commandment, you shall not steal. I think the principle is the principle of trust. It's the principle of trust. Because when you think about it, there's really only one reason that anyone would steal. That's because you don't trust God to provide for you. It's got to be the only reason. So what is God trying? What was God trying to teach Israel, the nation of Israel that had been in slavery for 430 years? What was he trying to teach them? What was he saying to them through this commandment? He's trying to say, you don't need to steal because I'll always provide for you. I want you to learn to trust me. Now, Ephesians chapter 4, there's a passage that we're going to springboard off of today. All three points will come out of one verse. But I was interested looking at these last few commandments that we're in right now, how these commandments, several of them, are in this passage in Ephesians 4. So let me show you this. Ephesians chapter 4, look at verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Okay, just so you know, that's next week. In other words, next week is you shall not bear false witness or you shall not lie. So here's the New Testament saying, put away lying. And then verse 26, be angry and do not sin. Okay, that was the one we talked about, not murdering. Because one of the steps to murder is hate. One of the steps to hate is unresolved anger. And here he says, be angry, do not sin, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. In other words, don't let it be unresolved. Don't have unresolved anger because it could turn into hate and bitterness. Verse 27, nor give place to the devil. Last weekend we talked about adultery and how adultery, whether it's body, soul, or spirit, gives a place then to the enemy in your life. And then verse 28 is this week. Let him who stole... Now he's talking to believers. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. So all three points are going to come out of this verse. So it says, let him who stole steal no longer. So here's point number one. Stop stealing. Kind of simple, huh? Stop stealing. So if you're going to develop this principle of trust in your life, you're going to have to stop stealing in little ways. And I think sometimes we actually do steal and we excuse it because it's just a little thing. But let's go back now to right before he gives the law in Exodus 20, Exodus 16, either in the wilderness and he provided manna for him. But something you might not have ever seen before is that he provided the exact amount of manna for every person every day. Look, Exodus 16, verse 16, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer, now that's about 2 liters. We don't know what an omer is, but it's about 2 liters. One omer for each person, according to the number of persons, let every man take for those who are in his tent. Then the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less, because it depended on how many people lived in that tent. So when they had measured it out by omers, he who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who had gathered little had no lack. In other words, everyone had the perfect, exactly perfect amount. Every man had gathered according to each one's need. Okay, so let's think about this for a moment. Since God provided exactly enough for every person, if you took more than what you were supposed to take, then you were stealing from another person. Okay, but here's what he said when they went out looking on the seventh day and he told them not to, because this is important. Exodus 16, verse 28. And the Lord said to Moses, how long do you refuse to keep, now underline the word keep there, keep my commandments and my laws. Let me tell you what this word keep means. It means a guard or a trustworthy keeper of something. A trustworthy. Here's what he's really saying. How long do you refuse to trust me? How long do you refuse to keep my commandments? How long do you refuse to trust that I'll provide for you? That was Israel's problem. They didn't trust that he would provide enough on that sixth day for 2 days. And he said, how long are you going to do this? How long? So that's what stealing is. Stealing is a bold statement to God that you don't trust him. Stealing is a bold statement that you don't trust that God can provide for you. So, as I said, how are we going to make this real for a church full of Christians? You got to remember that Ephesians, Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus, which they were a part of a very corrupt society. And he said, he's writing to believers, let him who stole, steal no more. And don't lie and don't be angry and not resolve your anger. Okay, so we're part of a corrupt society today. So there's still stealing that goes on. And I really think that Christians steal. Can I say that? S-T-I-L-L, S-T-E-A-L, steal. So I'm going to say some things, and you might want to nudge someone, you might not. You might want to look straight ahead like you've never had that thought before. But have you ever bought anything on an expense account that really was personal? Y'all are looking straight ahead. Never thought of that. Nope. Have you ever charged something to the company that really wasn't the company's? Okay, now I'll say it this way. Have you ever charged a meal to the company that really was personal? And I've heard it. For instance, at lunch we say, how's your business? Great, how's yours? Great, okay, we talked about business. I can write this one off. You laughed and then you moaned. Have you ever taken a longer lunch than you were allowed? That would be stealing. Have you ever paid for something in cash or asked to be paid in cash so you could hide it from the government? Have you ever received too much change back and considered it a blessing from God? Woo. Thank you, Lord. To not pay one's debts is stealing. If you borrow the money, you need to pay it back. Not working the agreed number of hours for pay is stealing. Let me say it another way. The Lord owns everything, right? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof and all the people that dwell therein. Psalm 24:1. So when you steal from someone else, aren't you really stealing from the Lord? Since he's the one that owns everything. And you know who the master thief is, don't you? Very famous scripture, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Who's he talking about? Satan. He's the thief. Here's number two. start working. Look back at Ephesians 4:28. Let him who stole steal no longer. That was point one. But rather, let him labor, working with his hands what is good. And then it says that he may have substance and gifts, so that'll be point three, okay? All right, but let him labor. Okay, you might say, I said start working. You might say, I have a job. Uh-huh, start working. I know a lot of people have jobs that don't work. I know people who work hard and people who hardly work. God blesses hard work. He blesses hard work. This word labor means to grow weary, tired, and to be exhausted. To be exhausted. This word work means to earn something by working, to earn it. Because God blesses hard work. This is the eighth commandment is the balance to the fourth commandment. It's why you need it. You need a day off because you worked. God's plan is that you would work and receive joy from your work. Did you know that? Did you know that God told Adam and Eve to work before the fall? Before they sinned, they were to work. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God put the man, took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it. To work it. But work is supposed to be a joy. If Ecclesiastes 2:10, watch this. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. What was his reward? That he worked. I grew up working for my father's company. My father owned a company, and I'd work for him during the summers. One part of his company, he was had an engineering company. One part was a surveying company, so I did the land surveying part. I remember one of my friends told me, he said, man, you ought to come work at this other engineering company in town. There were two big ones in our town, my father's and this other one. And he said, man, we don't work. That's what he told me. We don't work at all. And I thought, I was a teenager. I thought, sounds good because we work. So I actually went to work this company. We get there at 7 in the morning and sit around and eat donuts and drink coffee for about an hour. Then we start heading out to the job. Then we'd set the equipment up around 9 or 9:30. Then about 11:30, we'd break down to go to lunch. We'd come back from lunch. We'd sit in the car and take a nap. About 2 o'clock, we'd set the equipment up again. About 4 o'clock, we'd break the equipment down so we could be back to the office by 5. And we drove slow. About a month into it, I quit the job. My dad said, I said, Dad, I want to come back to work for you. He said, why? I said, it's no fun. I was a lost teenager. I didn't get saved till after Debbie and I got married. But I'd grown up where you worked. I knew how to work. So if you want to trust God for provision, stop stealing, start working. Here's number three. Get giving. Get to giving. Get giving. Ephesians 4:28 again. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may. I put these words, he may, and I'll tell you why in a moment. That he may have something to give him who has a need. So why did I put the words, underline the words may? Let me tell you why. Because we get to give, we don't have to give. You need to know this. God's not going to make you give. We get to give. Let me say another way, by the way, and this is the whole premise of the blessed life, most of you know. We get to give, we don't give to get. Isn't it amazing that pastors get up and preach, give and you'll get, instead of, hey, we get to give. So we don't have to give, we get to give. We get to participate if we don't steal, and if we're hard workers, we get to give to those who truly do have a need, who really do have a need. We can make a difference. We get to give. Now, in my opinion, probably the biggest theft that's going on in the church is taking what belongs to God. And that also has to be the biggest statement of unbelief you could make to God, of not trusting him. I don't trust you that if I do what your word says in the area of giving, that you'll bless me and you'll take care of me. Joshua 6, when they go into the promised land, remember God said, bring all the silver and the gold into the house of the Lord, the treasure of the Lord. Joshua 6, 19, all the silver and gold and vessels of bronze and iron are consecrated. That just, it's a Bible word that means set apart. This is what the tithe is, set apart to the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. Then if you remember, Achan took some and hid it in his tent. Joshua 7, verse 11, Israel has sinned, for they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them, for they have even taken some of the cursed things. They're consecrated when you bring them to the house of God, but they're cursed if you keep it in your tent. And watch this, and have both stolen and deceived. Stolen and deceived, and they've also put it among their own stuff. I just want you to understand, the same way with adultery, in order to commit adultery, you have to be deceptive, you have to be deceitful. The same way, stealing, you have to be deceptive, right? You have to learn deceit. Matter of fact, you know I love words. I love to study words and the root words. And I immediately, many times when I see a word, I break it down and see what the root word is, and it helps me understand. I'm going to show you a word. So since I've told you that now, you might get ahead of me on this. But look at this word. Look at the word stealthy. Now look at the root of the word. Steal. Now, I'm not talking about our military. Obviously, our military needs to be stealthy. They need to fly under the radar, not be detected. But that's exactly what a thief wants to do. A thief wants to fly under the radar. He wants to not be detected. He wants to not be caught. Matter of fact, when the Bible talks about a thief, many times it says when a thief is caught. But a thief tries to be stealthy. So he learns how to be deceptive. Let me say it another way. He learns how to work in darkness, which is where the enemy works. And here's what's amazing when you think about Achan. Achan was, they were going in the promised land, and the promised land was a bountiful land. It was the land of God's provision, a land of flowing with milk and honey. And they're going into the promised land, but Achan doesn't trust that God will provide for him and his own family. He has to provide for himself. And so he steals some. Here's the amazing thing. He never enters into God's provision. He doesn't even get to enter into the promised land because he stole from God. And let me remind you, this represents the tithe. This was supposed to come into the house of God. Please, please, please hear me. Please hear me. I don't care how much money you make. You'll never enter into God's provision for your life if you steal from him. It's all through Scripture. You understand? All through Scripture, God is trying to put the principle of trust in his kids. Adam and Eve. He starts with Adam and Eve. And here's what he says to them. You can have every tree except that one. Here's what he's really saying. Trust me. Trust me. Cain and Abel, bring the first into the house. Abel brings firstborn. Cain doesn't bring first fruits. Why? Because he's got to see how much it is before he gives an offering to the Lord. Because it takes trust to give the first part. God said, bring the firstborn. It doesn't take trust. You don't have to trust God to wait till your sheep has 10 lambs and then give God one. It takes trust to give him the first one. Jericho, which is what we just read out of Joshua, he said, give me all the silver and gold from Jericho. Why? Because it was the first city in the promised land. God is saying, if you'll trust me, I'll provide. And so many times, we just won't trust. Please hear me, by the way. If you have to provide for yourself, if you feel that, because you won't trust God, you won't do it God's way, you're going to have to do it for the rest of your life. You're always going to have to provide for yourself. It's so much better living in the provision that God has for you. And some people have no clue how much God could provide because they just won't trust. But it's all through Scripture. Think about it, all through Scripture. Trust me, even though there's a lion's den. Trust me, even though there's a fiery furnace. trust me, even though the Egyptian army is behind you and the Red Sea's in front of you. Stretch out your hand. Get out of the boat. Rise and walk. It's all through Scripture. God's saying, trust. Trust me. Trust me. Now, most Eastern cultures invoke the death penalty for stealing. Israel was the only nation that did not invoke the death penalty for stealing. Because God came up with something. Almost the whole chapter of Exodus 22, the majority of Exodus 22 is about how a thief makes restitution. God came up with restitution. And restitution, I'm really interested in this week. God, why restitution? And why, when our sins are paid for by Christ on the cross, why restitution? Why does the thief need to make restitution? And I found it in the Word. The Hebrew word for restitution is made up of two Hebrew words. One means to restore to its original condition. To restore to its original condition. Here's the other one. The second word means to remove guilt and shame. To remove guilt and shame. So you know what God does for someone who steals? See, if you hurt someone and you can't pay them back, they can forgive you, but you know you can't pay them back. But if you steal something, God says, I'm going to give you the opportunity to restore what you've stolen so that you don't have to live the rest of your life in guilt and shame. I'm going to give you this opportunity. As I told you, my dad owned a company growing up, and for some reason, my dad loved to collect silver dollars. Back then, you could collect silver dollars. Every time he'd go to a bank or something, he'd see if they had any silver dollars, and he'd buy them, and he put them in this piggy bank, and I remember he showed them to me one time. And when I was a teenager, I started taking silver dollars out of the piggy bank. Just two or three, you know, and then four or five or whatever. And again, I didn't get saved till after Debbie and I got married, but after I got saved, I remembered this. And I thought, I need to make restitution. And I estimated that the most I'd probably taken was 100. So Scripture talks about fivefold, a thief restores fivefold. And so, and that's in Exodus 22, it's fourfold and fivefold. And so I said, I wrote my dad a check for $500 one day, and I confessed to him. I said, I used to take silver dollars out of your piggy bank. And he said, you don't need to write me this check. I said, I know. He said, you don't need to write. I said, I know, Dad, but I need to make restitution. But here's what he said. He said, you don't need to write me this check. He said, I forgave you a long time ago. I said, you mean you knew that I was stealing these silver dollars? He said, oh, yeah. I said, how'd you know? Because I thought I was stealthy. I said, how'd you know? He said, well, son, I was putting silver dollars in every week, and my piggy bank was getting lighter. Didn't take a genius. I said, so why didn't you confront me? My dad's a very godly man. He said, I was wanting you to repent. He's just like our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father, He's already forgiven you. Through Christ, He's already forgiven you. But He'd like to restore to you what the enemy has stolen from you, and He'd like to remove the guilt and the shame that you feel.
Man, I really love that story Pastor Robert just told about his dad. What a good dad.
You know, today's message may have been very eye-opening and perhaps difficult to hear, but We want you to know that God forgives and he redeems and he restores us, even when we've messed up and not trusted him.
Well, take a moment to think about what Pastor Robert shared today and really listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. To get a copy of any of the messages in this relationship series, visit PastorRobert.com or call 833-933-WORD. So be sure to visit PastorRobert.com or call 833-933-WORD. You can also follow Pastor Robert on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
We really hope that you enjoyed today's message. Next time, Pastor Robert will be sharing about how the ninth commandment is God's principle of honesty. Thanks so much for listening and for your support. We pray you have a blessed week.